Detective Lieutenant Laurel Hester spent 25 years investigating tough cases in Ocean City, New Jersey, protecting the rights of victims and putting her life on the line. She had no reason to expect that in the last year of her life, after she was diagnosed with terminal cancer, that her final battle for justice would be for the woman she loved, as she struggles to transfer her earned pension to her domestic partner. Laurel Hester's story was shared in Cynthia Wade's documentary Freeheld, which won an Academy Award in 2008 for Best Documentary Short Subject. The doc has been adapted into a narrative feature starring Julianne Moore and Ellen Page. The Berkshire International Film Festival will present a screening of the new film on October 4th, Sunday, at the Triplex in Great Barrington. Berkshire resident Cynthia Wade will be in attendance to introduce the film and participate in a Q&A afterward. Laurel Hester's sister Linda will also be in attendance, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Cynthia Wade back to the roundtable. Cynthia, thank you very much for being with us. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
So what do you make of, at what point after you finished the documentary did talk start that this would be adapted into a narrative feature film?
Well, I lived with Laurel Hester and her domestic partner, Stacey Andre, in the last 10 weeks of Laurel's life. I literally slept on their couch. And Laurel's greatest disappointment when learning that she had terminal cancer is that she really wanted to write a book about her life as a detective and then her book about her struggle to provide her pension benefits to Stacey. And she realized that the terminal cancer wasn't going to allow her to do that. So the documentary took place of that. And she and I had a lot of conversations about how we could bring her story forward. So I remember very clearly in 2005, early 2006, sitting on her bed and saying, well, I promise you I will bring this story as far and wide as I can. I promise you. I'll figure out how to launch an Oscar campaign. We had no money for that, and I'll just keep going with it. So it took me about a year to get her life rights and the life rights of everybody in the film. And when the film was nominated for an Oscar in 2008, then people were very interested, and I met with different groups and ultimately settled on this really terrific producing team, the team that made Erin Brockovich. And then it took 7 years to raise the money to make this film.
And that's the hard part. At what point did you know that it was all systems a go and that you could be able to tell the story?
I would say it was, we shot in October of 2014. I don't think it was all systems go until June or July of 2014. It was really touch and go.
Yeah.
It's a very hard thing to make a film with two women as leads, unfortunately, still, and particularly a lesbian love story. So it was really the funding that was the biggest stumbling block over the last 7 years.
Do you believe are the filmmakers and the team allowed to do that you weren't in the documentary, in the sense of you told a beautiful story and told a very thorough story in your documentary? So what do we get out of a full-length narrative feature, do you think?
What we get out of is really learning what Laurel was like before she was sick. My greatest regret in knowing Laurel was that by the time I got to know her and then moved in with Laurel and Stacey in those last 10 weeks, is that she was a patient and Stacey was a caregiver. So I never knew them as an equitable couple. I never knew them as just purely domestic partners and best friends and essentially wives. I didn't know any of that. Stacey was heavy in caretaking by the time I showed up. So Laurel would talk about her amazing cases. She was always on the front lines, kicking down the doors and drug busts, and she was very much cracking a lot of the cases in organized crime in New Jersey. I read those articles. I saw the photographs, but I never knew her as the healthy, vibrant, tough, courageous cop that she was. And what the fiction film allows us to do is really get to know that detective and know her in her healthy state. And we see her meeting Stacey for the first time. They met at a volleyball game, and that's what happens in the fiction film.
What was your involvement in the film?
Pretty heavily. I'm a lead producer on it, and I was the only one on set that could answer very specific questions in terms of this happened on this day, this is the car that they drove, these are the clothes that they wore. I brought the screenwriter Ron Nicewander down into New Jersey for several several trips in between about 2009 and 2012 as he was writing the screenplay. And then I introduced the director to everybody and then was actually quite involved with the actors, bringing family members, the real people in the story, to people like Julianne Moore, providing my transcripts of the documentary, extra footage, deleted footage. The actors really approached this in a very journalistic sense. They really wanted to understand the story from the inside out, and as a result, it's a very, very true portrayal of what happened.
I want to talk about the film, but let me just back up for a moment. What brought you to the story initially? What went on in the months and years prior that brought you to sleeping on their couch for 10 minutes?
I was, to be honest with you, I was drowning in early motherhood. I had a 3-month-old baby and a 5-year-old child. We were living in a 4th-floor walk-up in Park Slope, Brooklyn. I made a few Labor of Love documentaries that had gone on to festivals and HBO, but for the prior 2 years, I'd been really doing client work, which is great, but it's never your own. And I remember scrawling in my journal, I want to be in love with a film again. I want to have a close relationship with a film again, because it really is like a marriage when it's that kind of a film. And I remember sitting on our stoop in Park Slope, Brooklyn, feeling like I was never going to make another film again, absolutely overwhelmed with a second baby in the house. And I turned to my husband and I said, I don't think I can ever make another film again. And he said, Cynthia, by the end of the year, it's going to hit, and it's going to hit hard, and your job is to be ready. And the truth is, I was ready. I read an article. I was really reading the paper a lot. I was scouring for stories. And when I read that this was happening to Laurel Hester, just an hour from where I lived in Brooklyn, I got a zip car. I didn't even own a car at the time, and went down there with an assistant and 2 cameras and started filming one of the protest meetings, and realized within the first 15 minutes of filming that this was my next labor of love, and this was the rabbit hole I was going to fall down and follow no matter what.
So you've been following that for a very long time. When you look at the film, and obviously have been working on it and seeing it day to day, but when you look at it now, as audiences will at this event on the 4th at the Triplex in Great Barrington, what do you get out of the story? What do you make of the art that has been conveyed here?
Well, the first thing I'm really glad about is that it's going to reach a much wider audience. A documentary can only reach so far, I think. Even with Netflix and HBO and all of the platforms for documentary, it's a selected audience, a self-selected audience to select to see a documentary on a Friday night. So this is being released by Lionsgate in theaters across the country, and will really be able to reach people who didn't know of Laurel's struggle and don't know of the documentary. But the other thing is that 3-month-old that I said, I turned to my husband and I said, can we work this out? Can you take care of her? I really need to go. And as a family, we did that. She just turned 10 this summer, and we just saw the Supreme Court pass marriage equality nationwide. So when you think of where we've gone in the last 10 years in this country, that's her lifetime. It's extraordinary. I could not have imagined it even 5 years ago or 7 years ago. So it's also a chronicle of where we are going in this country.
And what does that say about Laurel's story? Would this still be going on? Would she still have this struggle to transfer her pension to Stacy?
Well, not with marriage equality, but it's because of Laurel and because of the millions of couples who have faced discrimination, very small and significant, sometimes not so small, but in small towns, in counties across the country facing discrimination. It's their stories that really have led up to this major shift. And what I love most about Freeheld is it's just about ordinary people who go to work, who have a house, who have a dog, who pay their taxes. She never wanted to be in the national spotlight. That is the last thing she wanted. She just wanted to give her pension, her earned pension, to the person she loved most. And it was an unexpected thing that she had to suddenly become this nationally known figure in the last weeks of her life. She would have rather spent it just with Stacy quietly. But she also knew that she needed to fight that fight, and she was all about justice. So the thing I love most about the film is that it's about ordinary people, the human face, the personal effects on discrimination that discrimination can cause.
While I did not know Laurel or Stacy, I can't imagine two better actresses, just, well, period, than Julianne Moore and Ellen Page.
Yeah. Yeah, and Julianne, I mean, they're both amazing. Ellen spent a lot of time with Stacy in New Jersey preparing for the role. Julianne wanted every source of everything I had from my documentary and embodied Laurel so unbelievably that there were moments on set that I had to turn away because it felt like Laurel had come back to life. And as a matter of fact, Linda, Laurel's sister, who will be at the Triplex on Sunday, when I took her on set, she was watching some of the filming and she turned to me and she said, "I have to take a break. It feels like Lori has come back to life."
Yeah.
That is how unbelievably true Julianne's performance is.
The film is Freeheld. It is going to be shown on Sunday, October 4th at the Triplex in Great Barrington. BIFF is presenting a special pre-release screening of Freeheld with Cynthia Wade at the Triplex at 4 p.m. on October 4th. And to learn more, you can go to BIFFMA, BIFFMA.org/events, BIFFMA.org/events to find out more about the showing of Freeheld with Cynthia Wade at the Triplex in Great Barrington at 4 o'clock on October 4th. And then from there, the distribution schedule is what, Cynthia?
Lionsgate is releasing it in New York and L.A. this weekend, so this is a really special thing that we're getting it in advance. And then over the next 2 weeks, up until the 16th of October, it will be released in 500 theaters across the country and then internationally.
Great. So if folks perhaps miss this opportunity, there will be others, but the event, which will be very special, Freeheld with Cynthia Wade, and as I mentioned, Laurel Hester's sister, Linda, also will be in attendance at that event. Triplex Cinema, Great Barrington, 4 o'clock on the 4th of October, BIFFMA.org/events for more information. Cynthia, congratulations. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.